any rate, several months back, I mentioned that around this time, I was going to speak to the issue of our building, our church facility that we meet in. CCFR has actually been here. Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch has met here at 26882 Vista Terrace for 20 years almost. Prior to that, they were in schools, some other facilities, and then at one time, they met on the same street that Kingsfield used to be at as well. So our histories have intertwined way back when. But if you've been keeping track of other dates that I've thrown out, you know that we have a little less than 2 years left on our current lease at this building. So you might ask, why not just sign it and move on? Why are you taking this to us this morning, Pastor Aaron? That's your job. That's what the board does. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians so I can finish up and get another donut before I go. Let's just sign for another 5 years. Why not 10? And lock it in. Well, there's a few reasons for that, and that's what we are talking about today. So let's pray, and then we're going to dig in here a bit. Father, as we make our way eventually into your word, Lord, we pray that you'd open our understanding, Father, our hearts. Lord, help us to be flexible. Help us also to see what you want to show us as a body. Father, I pray that you would give us your heart for the community around us. Lord, your heart for the people that are not with us right now, God. The seats that are not filled, Father, and the ones that can't be, because there's no room for them. I pray, Father, that you would change our perspective, Lord, to that of heavens. God, that our desire would be your desire. I pray that you'd move in our midst this morning, Father, and that you would go before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some aspects of the space that God has provided for us, this building, some of them are great, and I'm thankful for them, but others not so much. I am not thankful for. Well, I am, but I'm aware of the deficiencies, let's put it that way. One of our biggest problems is right here where we're sitting this morning. The warehouse that serves as our sanctuary, the place where we come together, study the word, and worship. I know that we have visitors that come and wonder about our setup. Like they come, they sit, and they're going, what the heck is this place? What are these people doing? And what's with the garage door? Are those like the people that aren't allowed to sit with everybody else? They're quarantined. They're not quite, you know, a little something's off. I sit out there and I can testify. No, I'm just kidding. They're all great people. They deserve to be in here. History. Originally, after our two churches merged in January of 2020, we used to meet in small chapel on Sunday mornings. We had first and second service. And then 3 months into the merger, those of you that were with us, you remember COVID happened and we had to move. Well, we didn't meet for about 6 weeks. We did drive-through communion. And then after week six, the beginning of May, we started meeting in the parking lot. We stayed in our cars. Then everybody got out of their cars and you all just couldn't be controlled. So we decided to just sit outside and we stayed outside until the first rain of that year in the fall. But we couldn't go back into the small chapel. We couldn't fit in there. And so we came into the warehouse and we opened up the garage door as overflow. But apart from live feed to the small chapel, there isn't any more space to overflow into, all right? This is the problem that we're facing here. And that's not the best place for first-time guests anyway. We've got this situation where we've outgrown the warehouse. Roughly 35 to 40% of our church body sits outside, and there's nowhere else to go. Now, for those that would ask, well, why don't we just expand ours? Pastor Aaron, I know. Let's open up the wall, and we can just move right into the small chapel, and we're good to go. I've solved your problem. Put me on the board. Why are we talking about this? We cannot change this space at all. We are bound by the number of parking spots that are available to us in this physical lot. And the problem is that even if our neighbors say, sure, you can use our spaces, which they have, they would have to enter into a binding agreement that's extremely restrictive, that they've actually told us, no, we cannot do that. You're welcome to park anywhere you want, but we can't go where you would need us to. It's you can't get there from here. That's what we're getting at, all right? First service, we've got just about the right amount of room, but not much for growth. It's Memorial Day weekend, okay? So there are families that are gone. If they were here, every single seat, I can say that confidently, because every Sunday, Pastor Steve and I have worked the numbers. We have roughly 30% every single Sunday, okay? Not just holiday weekends. We have roughly 30% of the congregation away. You might go, oh, that sounds kind of high. No, we've tested it multiple times. We've gone, well, is it really 30%? We go down, there are 35 people to 40 people that are here. This is their church, but they're not here today. They'll be here next week or in a couple of weeks, and then they'll make it for two Sundays. Then they'll be gone. Then the kids will get sick. Then whatever, you know, Aunt Lucille, something happens, and et cetera, et cetera. Life, right? Second service, we've got more room, but overall, we've been growing beyond our space for a while. And apart from not having enough room for everybody, okay, we've got this other issue of the weather. Yesterday, I'm looking at the weather app, and I'm texting our head usher, and I'm saying it looks like we're going to have wind at noon, and it only takes a minor gust for our easy ups to have trouble and for the garage door to shake and all kinds of craziness. Wind is... it's relatively low on the list, but what about when it's 90 degrees? What about when it's 50 degrees? We've done things to compensate. We've got fans outside. Right now, we've got heaters. We've got fans in here. We cannot control the temperature effectively because we have to have the garage door open. I remember when several years ago, we had the AC guy come and engineer and put in place the ducting so that the system that's in here wouldn't just dump air, but it would actually put it where it needs to be a little bit more. He looked at me and he said, you know, it's not going to work as well as it would if you'd close that garage door. And I'm explaining to him, well, we can't close a garage door. And he's like, well, I'm not making any guarantees here. And I said, I'm not asking you, just put the thing up, all right? We just need cold air pushed out through the room a little bit. We make it work. Obviously, we make it work. You all have been flexible. We're trying. I appreciate the flexibility, but I know it's not ideal. And again, the extreme weather, it really challenges what we're doing here, because when we do have to close the garage door, in the hottest of the hot in the summer, the coldest of the cold in the winter, when it rains, when it's windy, then all of you lovely people, we have to move into the small chapel, or we squeeze in and hope it's not a Sunday when everybody decides to show up. It's a problem. It's not ideal. Is it doable? Yes. We do it every Sunday. This is fine. It's moderate today, right? Are these impossible obstacles? No, they're not impossible. Could we continue meeting like this for a long time? Sure, we could. But should we expect a visitor to be excited about our situation? And let me just ask you, if we sit here and count up the number of empty seats right now, inside and outside, is that the only number of people that God wants us to reach in Orange County? God help us if that's our conclusion. I sure hope not. I sure hope not. I sure hope it's not. Well, let's just fill those up and then we'll be good. They're already filled with people that know the Lord. They're just not here today, but they will be again next week. There's upwards of 100,000 people in Lake Forest. There is not a church in this city that's reaching every single one of those people. And beyond that, you have hundreds of thousands in Laguna Niguel, Laguna Hills, Lake Forest, this side of Irvine that might consider coming our way. There's more to be done. That's what I'm saying. There's more people to reach. The building that we're in right now, it's a blessing. It is. But as I have said, it is also a liability to our effectiveness. Many have come anyway. I'm aware of that because our church has grown. That's a blessing. And I shake my head sometimes and wonder, why? Why is this? Why did God do what he did? It's crazy. Our story. But would we be limiting God? Would you and I be limiting God by choosing to sit on our hands and do nothing. By choosing to say, this all sounds a little bit uncomfortable, Pastor. What are you talking about? I really like where my chair is. I've got it just set so. And we would be limiting God. We can do that, can't we? When we feel like God, by his Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, you know what? You should put together a trip and go to the Philippines. We can just say to that, no. The youth ministry can say, you know what, it's a lot of trouble to put together a summer camp, so we're just going to skip that this round. And you might think, well, they're not going to skip it. They could. A food packing Sunday coming up on June the 22nd. Outreaches. We can choose, and we've all done it, to say no to the Lord. I don't think this is something that we should say no to when the need is obvious. We're reaching our ceiling here and our effectiveness. What is going to begin to happen is the law of diminishing returns is going to kick in. Now, a church building is not the most important thing, but it certainly isn't unimportant. Our meeting space, it is a little bit impractical, and to be forced to have that 40% of the church sitting to my right, your left, separately from everyone else, it's more than inconvenient. And I know there are people that enjoy sitting outside. I like sitting outside. It's not like it's a horrible place to be, but at the same time, it's funny because there's this visual and physical separation, and it's as though we're not completely together. And it absolutely, I promise you, there are people who come who visit our church, and it's like, that's good for you, but I'm going to keep looking. We just have to be honest about that. For somebody who shows up when it's 90 degrees outside and 85 inside, and the air's moving, and the garage door's open, it's a little bit funky. And we can be honest with ourselves about that. Still thankful. God's been faithful. He's given us this space. But there's a ceiling to it, as I said. And it's going to keep people away. There just is not enough room here. And there are other problems that we could speak to, needs that, if met, would be a blessing. It would be awesome to have some outdoor space for kids and families. A playground. I would love to have a playground for children. I feel like, did I have to clarify for children? I don't know. Maybe. Overall, our building's okay. For the most part, the kids' ministry space works, although when it is a full Sunday, when the right demographics show up, it's funny, we can have Sundays where it's full in here and it's lighter on the kids' ministry side. It all depends on what demographics come. If it's a full Sunday for the kids' ministry, three out of our four current kids' ministry spaces run out of space pretty quick. They're no longer ideal. Average Sundays, they work. We're good on offices. Great having a kitchen. That's awesome. The small chapel, it works for our smaller meeting space. I'm really thankful for that. Our fellowship hall, it's really more just a lobby, but again, it works. I mean, we can make it all work. We're thankful for what God's provided, and we want to continue to be thankful. There are churches with a lot less than what we have, aren't there? We know that. Churches that have to set up and tear down every Sunday. I have friends that have to do that. They're doing it today. Churches that meet in schools. Churches that meet in other churches' buildings, so they have to meet later, afterwards, or before Saturday night. We are blessed. Now, if the warehouse right now was only like half full, and no one was outside, if we didn't have a growing second service, we wouldn't be talking about any of this. We'd be focused on seeking to reach more people and just do what God had given us to do. But we are reaching capacity. We're growing. In fact, what's happening is that we are outgrowing this facility. Right now, if a family of five walked in, and we have a few families of five, there is nowhere for them to sit together. Look around. Three seats, two seats. That's it. That's not welcoming to visitors that are not, you know, by themselves or just two people. And very often people come in groups together. This is a problem. We've been in this place for a couple of years now. The last time we signed a five-year lease 3 years ago, we did so because we weren't really sure where the church was at. We'd only been merged for a short time, and we really wanted to wait and see what God was going to do and where people were at. But in the last 5 years, we've grown significantly. Our kids' ministry, our men's and women's and youth, since the merger, we've added life groups, four of them, a midweek study, a youth group that meets weekly. Those are all things that are either new or they have grown a lot since 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And there are other new ministries as well. Sundays are just bigger, all right? So to put it simply, what do you do when you're outgrowing the space that you have? If you're able, you look into moving somewhere else, don't you, right? If you're in an apartment, you move up to maybe a townhouse or a single family home if you're able to, back before you had to, you know, like mortgage one of your children or something in order to get into a house. If you're in a sedan and now you've got kids and car seats, you go to a minivan. That's where we're at. And where we're going with today's message is that I think we need to be seriously praying about this, asking God. Every time you know the garage door closes or we feel uncomfortable because of heat or cold, I've mentioned this. I've said something about it. This is the official mention, all right? This is the, we're not just going to talk about it. This is what we're going to do about it. Asking God what he wants to do. Not just me, not just the board, not just the handful of people that tell me, for which I am very thankful, Pastor Aaron, we're praying for a building. God bless you. We all need to be asking the Lord for this. We all need to be on page about it. What is God's will? What is his plan for us as a church body? You and I, the body of Christ, we have not been called to be comfortable. We've been called to go, to reach those around us. We're on a mission here at CCFR. We've talked about this. We're loving God and we're loving people. We're seeking to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're looking to reach the lost, to live out and fulfill the Great Commission. We're reaching in. We're loving one another, our neighbor, better than ourselves. We're reaching up. We're looking to love and worship the Lord in a way that prioritizes him over ourselves. And we're reaching out. We're looking to love the lost, to see their need as greater than our own, to reach out and wrap our arms around them. If we know that something we're doing or not doing is hindering that, preventing us from being effective, we should be asking God to help us change, to enable and equip us to do more. I'm your pastor. I can tell you we are doing something that is hindering our effectiveness, and it's this building, okay? I'm not saying we're doing everything else amazingly and perfectly, and that's the, you know, magic fit, but it's just the truth. This is a situation that's worked for an interim period that's lasted several years. God may have a plan for longer. That's possible. But we need to pray. We need to ask him, God, would it be your plan that you would open the door that maybe we could fit a third more people? Maybe make room for 35 to 40% more possibly so that when people come in, there is room to grow. Jesus is very clear in the Word of God about our calling to pray. He's clear that he expects us to ask persistently and consistently in faith, believing that if it's his will, the door will be opened. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, we find this teaching on prayer from our Savior. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The idea isn't that we can have, you know, whatever we want. Okay, I think most of you know that's not what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7. As long as you ask, seek, and knock, you know, you can, you know, just get whatever's on your little list. Instead, the one who, through asking, seeking, knocking, is close to the heart of God. It's one who's living as a disciple. That one who's delighting themselves in the Lord is going to develop a heart near to God's and will find themselves asking in keeping with his heart. That's one who prays according to the will of God. And those prayers are answered, and I am fully expecting God to answer this prayer. The prayer that we find in Matthew chapter 7, it's not passive. The verb used in the Greek, it's all three of them in terms of the asking are in the present imperative tense. And that means that Jesus is calling us to not just pray once, but to keep praying, to continue asking, seeking, and knocking. Persist in prayer until an answer is given. That's why you heard me at the beginning of the message say we have a little bit less than 2 years, and you might think, well, that's a lot of time, Pastor. I wish it was. It isn't, especially in the process of finding a church building and facility. We're starting now to pray and ask God to do something that we may not see the answer to for months or even beyond a year. Jesus goes on in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Dads that are here, if your kid asks you for, you know, a snack, are you going to, you know, give him a, I don't know, a firecracker or something? That might be an equivalent. Or just you, if a friend comes to you, a neighbor kid, hey, can I have some of that? I mean, you're going to punch him? It's like, no, you know to be generous, to be humane. How much more our Father knows how to give good gifts to those who ask him. Can I ask you a question? Praying for God to broaden our capacity as a church to be able to reach more. Would we consider that to be a good gift, a good thing? I think so. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who asks, to those who ask him? As Jesus does elsewhere in his teaching, he draws a comparison here from the lesser to the greater. If you and I know how to respond to legitimate needs, how much more does our God? But the same God has engineered this avenue of prayer to be dependent on our asking. That's the crazy and wonderful and strange thing about prayer, isn't it? That we have to ask. That we can actually experience lack in our lives, in our ministry, in our service to him, because we have failed to bring our needs before him in believing prayer. That is what the Bible teaches. James chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible is clear that you do not have because you do not ask. Why are we taking a Sunday morning to address this, Pastor? Because it's not just my job to ask the Lord for these kinds of things. In fact, it's not my job. My job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So here's the work of ministry. Your ministry's limited because your building's maxed out, everybody. We need to ask God for space that's more effective. We need to ask him for his will, for his plan. Does God know what we need? Yes, absolutely. Is he able to provide? Yes. Can he work apart from our asking? Well, of course, yes, and he does do that sometimes. And yet the Bible is clear that God has orchestrated a tension, a sovereign tension, by which he's waiting for us to ask. Could myself and the board, just independent of you, just make a decision, figure this out? Could I just lean on my own understanding in the flesh as pastor, do my quote job? I could. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that what we're doing, the steps we're taking, are being ordered by God, because I am convinced that when he goes before us, the results are infinitely better. Don't you want to be where he wants you to be? And I hope you want to be effective for his kingdom. I want my life to be invested in eternity to the fullest. I don't want to miss the opportunity that God might have. It doesn't take the gift of prophecy or discernment or wisdom. We'll get there in 1 Corinthians, but it doesn't take any of that to look at the situation and go, something's happening. God, it seems God's stirring something. There's growth here. How are you going to respond to it? At times, God, he's looking for desperation from us before he will answer. Prayer, it's an expression of dependence. Prayer, it's an admission of need. And let me tell you, the real estate market in South Orange County, we need the Lord, okay? I can assure you we do. Prayer, it's an act of humility. I've heard it said before that prayer, it doesn't change God. It changes us, and that's one of the reasons this is so important, that we would be aligned with heaven's heart as a people. That's part of what the Father's looking for. You and I humbly bringing a need before him, asking that our heart might be made like his, that we'd learn to wait, to trust him, to seek his face, to listen to his voice. His will, not ours. That's what we're seeking. And that's the context of what we're talking about in all of this. We want what the Lord wants for us. That's what we're asking for. And here in our midst, in this church at CCFR, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Some of you saw the posters as you came in. We've kind of put them up around the building. The idea is that we would be reminded in the months and in the year ahead to keep putting this before the Lord. God, that here in this building, and you know what? More importantly, in me, in your heart, in mine, that there would be this cry of not my will but yours be done. Father, that in my life, it would be on earth as it is in heaven. That in my experience, in my obedience to you, in my walk of faith, there would be a reflection of your kingdom. We don't want to settle or be comfortable. We want to be in tune with what God is doing. Asking that if he might desire to use us more. If his plan might be bigger than what we're currently managing. And I'm not talking about a mega church or multi-site here, okay? I know some people that are, oh, well, you know, pastor, we know everybody, and I don't, you know, if we shake it up and 15 more people come, you know, everything's going to be... We're not talking about going on, you know, live television or anything here, okay? We're just talking about accommodating what we currently have and room for God to do more, since that appears to be the trajectory that he has us on. On earth as it is in heaven. That phrase, of course, it's found in answer to the disciples' request that Jesus would teach them how to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we read there, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That our lives, that our decisions would be a reflection of heaven. That the choices we make, the work that we do, that our very, very lives would be lived in the same way that the activity of heaven is carried out. That's what we're praying for here at CCFR. And honestly, I hope and pray that this season doesn't just bring clarity about the future, but it brings clarity to our own lives personally. Because I would suspect that God would, in directing our church body, would want to speak to and minister to some of our hearts about some realignment. Occasionally you have to take your car in, right, to get the front end realigned. Because your steering is taking you in a direction different from where the driver wants to go. And it wears. God wants to change that in our lives. And I think it's an important step, becoming the people he wants us to be in the course of going where he wants us to go. Moving is a big deal for a church. I've thought back over my time in ministry, more than 25 years now, the times that I've moved churches, 5 times now. You've heard me say before, I don't relish moving. I don't like it, but I want to get past and over that. I've been involved with 3 building projects, 1 definitely from a distance. That was the sanctuary that we built out of the packing house. I would not claim any. I watched the building go up, but I wasn't out there with a hard hat or anything like that. And a couple after that that were smaller. What I don't want to be guilty of, what I don't want to fail in as a pastor is this leading us rightly in this decision and what's next. Being certain that we're asking, that we're seeking God and waiting on him, that here at CCFR it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Several months back, I came across a passage in my morning reading, my devotional time, and it really spoke to me about this issue that I have been praying about for a couple of years now. It jumped out at me, and I thought, that's it. That's what we need. I made a note of it. I emailed myself, as I do when I'm trying to remember something. And I was going back through it just recently, and I saw the passage, and I didn't actually remember what it was, and I looked it up, and I read it, and I went, oh, yes, the building. It's found in Numbers chapter 9, and beginning in verse 15, it had been 1 year since God had delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. 1 year had passed. They'd been living in the desert in tents. They'd received the law, and the tabernacle of worship had just been completed. They'd manufactured all the different aspects of it. They'd raised the tent for the first time. We read in verse 15 of Numbers chapter 9, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. Well, we learn in Exodus that as God led the people out of Egypt, his presence, it was manifest to them in that same tangible way. Beginning in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. So the tabernacle of worship that contained the Ark of the Covenant and the various implements of worship, where worship and sacrifice took place, it was completed, and God's presence that had been revealed to the people that was with them since they crossed the Red Sea, it descended on that tent. A cloud by day and fire by night. Verse 16, so it was always. The cloud covered it by day, that is the tabernacle of worship, this tent, and the appearance of fire by night. But the presence of the Lord, it didn't always stay in one place. God moves. He works. Verse 17, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Verse 18, at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. God's not moving. His presence hasn't budged. Neither are we. Verse 20, so it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Sometimes it was just one day. Whether by day or night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. They knew if God's moving, we need to move. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Sometimes God remained in the same place for a long time, and other times it was just a day or two. But the people were instructed to watch and wait, to pay attention. And when the presence of God began to move, they packed up and began to follow. I know you can all remember times in your walk with the Lord when you saw God move. And you knew it meant some sort of action or transition on your part. I think about our history as Calvary Chapel. Imagine if if that little country church, as it filled up, if Pastor Chuck had said, well, you know what, the Frozen Chosen are here, and we're good, and there's no need to expand, and just God will open up a new church somewhere else. Or then when the sanctuary that was built out was full, a tent, I don't think so. That just sounds, it's a little too unorthodox, and we're really comfortable here, and it's kind of cool. I've got space, or I can pick that one over there. Part of seeing God work and move is a willingness to go with him. It's a willingness to say yes to the Lord. This question for us of a possible move for CCFR, it's more than just addressing physical and practical needs. It's about discerning the will of the Lord for our church body. It's something that we have to seek him together on, to ask, Lord, are you moving? If he is, we want to move with him. If he isn't, we want to stay put and trust him. It's that simple. Now, in trying to understand if a move is feasible, if God might be in it, is prayer all that God calls us to? You're like thinking, Pastor, I hope you're doing more than just asking us to pray. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it is all God calls us to, is to just pray. But other times, no. Sometimes we pray and prepare. A little preparing and a lot of prayer, and that is what we're doing. And honestly, I believe prayer is most important. Because if we're seeking, trusting, and waiting on God, he is going to take care of us. Oh, don't you know that's true? We have so much more confidence in our decisions when we have put it before the Lord. We're seeking him. When we're in that posture of, Father, not my will, but yours be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is a safe place to proceed from. Not safe for our flesh. Might freak you out, but God's going to be there. He's going to take care of you. So what practical steps have we taken, and what are we taking prayerfully, myself as pastor and our board? Toward the end of last year, myself and Pastor Steve, along with guidance from our board of elders, met with a Christian commercial banker, a friend, someone that I was first introduced to back when the Packing House was building, and worked with him for lending. He also used to attend Kingsfield years ago, and we met just to see what it might look like. Should a building become available in our price range? Could we borrow money to help cover the cost? If a building became available, you know, right? You kind of want to have a few ifs checked off to sort of know as you start moving forward or getting ready to move. Right now, we have money in savings, not enough to buy anything outright, but enough for a down payment, most likely. And we're now pre-approved for a loan, but we have not formally applied for a loan or anything like that. We just wanted to ask those questions to be ready, should the Lord open the door. And for those that might object to borrowing, to say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Borrowing, is that really of the Lord? Should the church? I have news for you. Entering into a lease is very much borrowing. 3 years ago, we signed a lease that every single month we would pay to the owner of this building X amount of dollars. And let me tell you, we pay interest. It increases every year, okay? And at the end of those 5 years, we will have paid a whole lot of money. And the bummer is we ain't got nothing for it. Well, we don't have nothing. We have our investment in the kingdom of God. We have all the great things that God has done. So that's really not true. We don't have equity, though. The big problem that Pastor Steve has pointed out many times, I so appreciate it, is the problem with leasing for a church is you are always paying fair market value. That means the lease we signed 5 years ago, that was going to look like a deal compared to what's coming up in a couple of years. Purchasing a building, it might not be a door that's open to us, but if it is, buying would potentially be a better use of God's resources. That's where I see it from a stewardship standpoint. And I think that's important. Needless to say, we're not really sure what's going to happen there. But we're trying to find out what the possibilities are. Around that time, we also began working with a commercial real estate broker in order to actively investigate what's available out there. Find out if any buildings stood out as real possibility. And I've worked with realtors in the past to find church space. Last time it took a little more than a year to locate a facility that would work for us. But you know what? It only needs to take as long as God means for it to, which is again why I'm asking for you to pray with me on all of this. We want to walk through the door that only He can open and no man can close. That's the opportunity we're looking for. And as we believe God, as we believe that He's called us to this area, I also want you to be aware that where we're looking is Lake Forest. We're looking for somewhere between here and the 5 freeway and not too far that way and not too far that way. We want to make sure that our church body, that we're not too far from any of you. So that's the circle that we're looking in. But as you know, I've spoken to the problems related to our building, this need, many times. I've asked you to be in prayer. Those of you who are, again, thank you. Prayer is the most important part of this puzzle as we seek to discern if God is moving, where He's calling us to. We have made a tool. So, Mark, if you could help us out with our other ushers. They're going to pass out. It's a pledge card. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a pledge card. Why do I always love to do that? I'm sorry. Naughty pastor. So this graphic, it's up in the building. It's on the website. You're going to see it. And this is your own personal reminder on earth as it is in heaven. And at the bottom, Matthew 6:10, and on the reverse, Numbers chapter 9, verse 17, reminding us that just as the children of Israel waited and watched for the cloud to rise up and move, the pillar of fire, that's what we're doing. But on the back, there's 3 points for prayer. And the reason they're there is so that we can pray together, unified. All right? So that we can be on page with one another. The first point is His plan. We are praying for God's plan for us as a church body. We're praying for a building that would match the work that God desires to do in and through us, the right fit. If this is it, praise God. We'll stay here. But if it is His intention, as it appears to be, for Him to do more, God, would You move us to that place? Whatever His plan, we'll trust Him. In Paul's prayer recorded in Ephesians 3:20, he writes that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. As we pray, let's remember that God is not limited. Nothing is impossible for Him. He can make a way where there is no way. He tells us that in Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He's saying, forget the past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. There's that road. And rivers in the desert. His provision. We're praying for His provision. We're praying that God would provide financially and that He would open the doors before us. We're told in Psalm 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." God, he's able to provide. He just needs to sell some cows. So just pray for him to do it. He's the God who spoke, and the worlds leapt into existence. Jesus showed us in his ministry again and again, he's able to take what's surrendered to him and multiply it, be it loaves and fish or the widow's mite. God's able. His preparation. We're praying for his preparation. For his plan, his provision, his preparation. We're praying that God would make us ready and equip us for the work that he has ahead. Because this is not just about a bigger building. This is not just about even a building that looks a lot like this with maybe just a bigger sanctuary. It's about us being ready for it. It's about us being positioned to enter into what he has for us. A building, it's not just about a place to meet. It's only useful in so much as it serves as a base of operations, a place from which his people are sent out. And you and I are called to go into all the world to make disciples. It's through the study of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:17 tells us that the servant of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what we're doing here every week. It's through this, we're asking that God would continue the work he's been doing in us, maturing and readying us for what's ahead. I know change can be scary. Leading through change is scarier, okay? So pray this for yourself, but pray for me too. And there's a little space there with lines, and you might think, well, what's that for? Well, that's for you to write down, pray Pastor Aaron doesn't have a stroke. Wisdom for our board, all kinds of stuff. Maybe God puts on that whole playground thing just goes off. And Lord, give us a building that has a playground. Lord, give us plenty of parking. Lord, put us in an area where there's lots of neighbors and people that don't know you, that maybe they'll even be able to walk to church. Because who knows what gas is going to cost by then. We may all be walking anyway. Now, not that we can know, but how might God answer this prayer for a new or different building that could better accommodate our church and the work ahead, enabling us to reach and serve more? Could be a building that's not being used for a church. Maybe it's already got some meeting space and offices, easily convertible. Maybe it's an existing church or school. We don't know. We don't know what God's going to do. Usually his answer, it comes in one of three ways. Yes, no, or wait. I'm expecting that. You're going to help us discern the answer. We're going to discover it together as we wait and seek him. Pastor Frankie and the worship team, maybe you guys can come on up and help us get ready to finish up with a song of worship. God may tell us to wait, that it's not time yet. That's possible. Given our situation, we all understand that we need to press in, ask, and prepare. It's wise to be ready when God is already working, okay? The pillar of cloud, it may not have moved yet, but by all accounts, if I could put it this way, what I see is that it's getting windy, okay? To me, I see that the stage is being set for that, all right? Just looking at the practical, like I said before, you don't have to have a prophetic word to discern it. I wouldn't be opposed to that, and I don't mind that. I don't know what he's going to do, but I suspect he's going to move us, and I want to be ready. I want us to be ready. In a posture of prayerfully preparing, looking to him for direction, that our lives, that this ministry might be used by him to the fullest, that here in this fellowship, here at CCFR, what we do and say, even our waiting, that here it would be on earth as it is in heaven. So please stand with me, would you? Father, we lay this need before you, God. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Lord, we would ask not our will, but yours be done. We pray that you'd make us a people that would have the faith to believe you. for more, Lord. Lord, you say you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You've called us to go, Lord. Father, we want to be able to invite more in. We want more people to be able to come and stay. Lord, we recognize that there are stumbling blocks about us in the way that we meet. So we just humbly lay it before you and say, if it would be your will to give us space where more could come alongside of us, God, where we could reach and disciple, Lord, that you'd do it. God, space where we can be maybe more of a blessing to young families and kids. God, maybe you would place us in a way that's a little bit more strategic to our community. We lay it before you. You say we have not because we ask not, so we're asking. You go before us, you open the door. In Jesus' name, amen.